Under the Scope.
Welcome back to Under the Scope. It's the show where we review things. I'm Jared, that's Earl. Let's get right to it. We just got out of a screening of the Denzel Washington action flick, The Equalizer.
Based off the 1985-89 hit television series starring Edward Woodward.
Are you familiar with the TV series?
I don't remember it that well. I just remember the opening credits, and I remember the ending credits, and how sometimes the movie would end with, "Don't worry, you don't have to pay me."
Great frame of reference. All right, so, as I said, this film stars Denzel Washington. It's directed by Antoine Fuqua. You may remember the two of them previously teamed up for the movie Training Day, a very well-regarded film. You ever see Training Day? I like Training Day.
About 100 years ago.
I think it had Ethan Hawke in it as well.
Yes, it did.
It also has Chloe Grace Moretz.
You know her?
It's not Mortez. It's Moretz.
All right, sure. Tomato, tomato. Anyways.
She plays a lady of the evening. She's a prostitute. She's a prostitute, apparently part of a sort of a Russian white slavery ring, I would guess.
Yeah. Nothing good.
And other people. Bill Pullman makes an appearance. Melissa Leo makes an appearance. There's other people in this film, too. But really, all you care about is Denzel. He's the guy. Yes. So, who is Denzel? Who is the Equalizer? Well, he is Robert McCall. One of the two. They could be the same guy.
He doesn't look like a Robert. He doesn't look like a Bob.
Anyway, he's a man of routine. He's an older gentleman. We don't really know initially anything about his past. All we know is he works at an off-brand home store.
And he apparently is friends with everybody in the neighborhood and helps everybody in the neighborhood. He's like a psychopath Mr. Rogers. Wait, we're not at the psychopath
part. We're not. He's not quite a psychopath. Right now, he's a man of routine.
He helps everybody.
He times his activities. Everything is very crisp, very proper. He washes his dishes after every meal. He can't sleep. Which could be a hint that maybe he's got some troubles.
He likes to have his tea at 1:45 in the morning.
He goes to a 24/7 diner, and this is where he meets or has apparently has sort of a friendship with this
Chloe lady.
Chloe, it's Alina or Terry, as she's also known, this prostitute. So things are going along in routine land, normal. Everything's great
until she gets. Punched in
until
the face.
Until it turns out that our Alina has some trouble with her pimp, these Russian gangsters who were running around, and she runs afoul of them, and they beat the crap out of her and put her in the ICU.
They hospitalize her, and that's brutal.
It's at that point where Robert McCall decides
things need to be equaled.
Yes, there are debts to be paid, and he's there.
Equal.
At first, he's just trying to find a peaceful resolution, but of course, things aren't going to go that way, because otherwise, if that happened, we wouldn't have a film.
Yeah, the shtick is he liked to give a nice look. You can do this cool and call and stop your stuff, or you can die.
It's the kind of guy who's going to give you a chance, is what he's saying.
Yeah, he gives you a chance, and that's the slick part. And I think that was part of the original show, too.
Could be. I don't know. I was like 12 when that show was on. So. Anyway.
It was a show for dads.
Let's just say that our perpetrators don't take the easy way out. They don't take the right way. They decide to make it tough. And our story begins in earnest.
It's like about an hour into it, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a slow burn for the first act.
This has got to be one of the most wonderful tales of slow escalation I've ever seen in a long time in a movie. Usually movies are like all over the place. This one's just like build, build, build.
A sequence where you can tell that he is wrestling with this decision to decide to take this sort of action.
To stop. Should he equalize or not equalize?
Right, and it looks like it takes place over a number of days. And he's, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, it's not like an hour of the film. It's like 2.5 minutes, but he's agonizing. He's pondering. You could tell that he's sort of.
Because someone in his past.
Really knows that if he takes the step that there's no coming back, and that he's going to sort of be the man he used to be, who we're just probably going to get a glimpse of now. There you go. Yeah. That's the Equalizer in a nutshell. And obviously there's, going to be lots of action, lots of fighting, lots of people getting blown up.
Let's just say the Russians weren't too happy that he decided to stand by their call girl.
Yes, it's not going to go well for them.
Yeah.
So, overall, what did you think of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. It was, like I said, it had a nice, slow build to it.
Mm-hmm.
The only really big difference I remembered from this, from what I can remember of the TV show, is Equalizer took people down and lived a little richer. Now, this is kind of
an origin story. Right.
So, you really can't go through the show too much, but I was very impressed that he never used a gun. But at the
same... That's true.
Yeah, he never used a gun. And that kind of was strange from the show. He was a very hands-on guy. And honestly...
You know what? I don't recall him actually firing a gun.
No, he didn't.
Wow. Okay.
It was almost like the anti-gun.
That's a good observation.
It's like, you know, watch out for that. Don't shoot people. Mangle them with your hand.
Do nail guns count as guns?
What?
Nail guns. Do they count as guns?
Well, I don't want to do traditional... that part. That, you know, I'm
he
not,
works it out. Okay.
He works in a... Yeah, he works in a hardware store. We're not going to tell you where the nail gun is located.
Chances are that's going
to
come into play.
When the nail gun came out, I was a little disappointed.
I was a little disappointed. I will echo your sentiment about overall liking the film. The slow burn was nice. I felt like this was going to be a nice... I liked the building of tension because...
No, it just...
You just... When it finally releases, it's such a thrill. Mm-hmm. But I felt like... The third act was kind of an absurd mess.
It just barely contained itself. I agree with you.
It got a little bit. It went from small to big real fast. Let's just say that.
Well, you know, do something, but yeah, he died. But I mean, one thing that kind of got me is just like he was cold and ruthless. I mean, like this was almost like a horror film, and not maybe in a gore sense, but. The way he just popped, it was like Jason versus the Russian mob, except Jason's now played by Denzel
Washington. Yeah, there were a lot of, like, horror-type setups and shots where he's sort of there in the shot, and then he's not in the shot, and you're like, where did he go?
And then all of a sudden,
what is he doing?
I don't even know what he killed that one guy. And yeah, it was this long pole with a big blade on it just comes
out. Yeah, it was like a tree pruner, actually. I own one of those, and now I know it's a deadly weapon.
It just goes through people's necks like hot butter.
I think my biggest problem with the third act is it the lengths it goes to without giving away what happens. It, like, goes really, really far, and...
Let's just say it went from unique to very Hollywood.
My part... Okay, so I'm a little conflicted, because I'm like... I felt like this is too absurd, this is a little too far. I really wanted this film to be smaller and more localized. At the same time, they sort of painted themselves in the corner with the story because there's only one way to really resolve it in any way where he can walk away from it and feel like he's done, and that is to do what he did. So, I don't know. I guess you try to write a smarter film, maybe. But
I was happy. It gave me exactly what I wanted.
Yeah,
it didn't try to overdo. It wasn't like the Brave one where it's just like every other scene. It's just like, am I doing the right thing? It's like. The guy is built for it. And the best part is that after he kills a bunch of people, he can finally sleep nicely.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing.
And
yeah.
He's like, God, I finally got that out of my
system.
He's
definitely not conflicted about taking a life if he feels it's justified, right. That's for sure.
And I don't give the line away, but the line that the senator lady said, her last line was just made me giggle inside. I'm like,
yeah, because you know shit's going to happen.
Yeah, did he get the help he needed? And that's all I'm saying. This was like a nice... Like, if The Dark Knight and Taken had a child.
Okay.
And it was Denzel Washington. Because he had a nice slow escalation of The Dark Knight, an ensemble piece. And then you had the awesome, I'm going to kill everybody till I get this done with, of Taken.
Yeah. That's a good summation. I like that. I think Denzel was good in the part.
I was very impressed with Denzel.
They didn't make him do... too much physically that you would think like, oh, come on, this guy's like almost 60. How is he doing this? This is ridiculous.
But that's how the show was.
No, I'm saying they didn't do that. They kept it within the realms of a physicality that you believed in, especially a guy who's regimented like he is and keeps himself in shape and, you know, eats right. And you kind of believe that he's going to be able to pull off the stuff that
he does.
And
it's kind of a slow motion before it hits the fan.
Yeah, and there's a number of scenes where he's required to show up and just give you that kind of calm menace that this character needs, and Denzel delivers in those scenes,
and
for sure.
And the fact that he helps everybody out in the neighborhood, you get to see a nice, happy side of him, and it's just a nice contrast, because you just got that, when he walks into a room and he's just got that face with that weird little crooked bottom lip.
Yeah, he brought a physicality to it that was interesting. If you look at some of the way he walks, he sort of favors one side a little bit. He's got a little bit of a lean.
A swagger.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a swagger, if it's just if him putting kind of a personality tick on the character, which, if that's what he was doing, bravo, good job.
Bravo, yeah.
There's one scene, like, right before the third act kind of kicks off, where it's McCall and the main Russian bad guy,
they're sitting at
Teddy,
the table.
Kind of facing off, and I think there was a chance for it to really turn into cartoon scenery chewing, and it didn't. It was restrained. but menacing at the same time. Right. So well, good performances and good directing in that.
Yeah, Denzel keeps it grounded. Not once, you know, and I'm going to make this part up, not once does he... I don't want to give away the film. You know? Okay, not once does he get a hammer and go, it's hammer time. You know, not, none of that stuff.
No.
He's very... It's like he just walks in. Like I said, it's like Jason in Friday the 13th. He just walks in and then just fades into the darkness.
There's an efficiency.
And then the next day he's like, hey, guys, how you doing on your test?
Right. He's, well, people like that are definitely trained to compartmentalize things, and right. I'm sure that's some of that training coming through.
Now, the Russian bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen that guy in a movie before, but...
He looks familiar.
Yeah, he looks like Ty Burrell's stunt.
He kind of looks like other guys you've seen. I'm not sure if I've seen him either, but he's good. He's good.
He has a nice little build menace to it as well, because...
Yes.
You know, the first thing you think, oh, okay, you're going to kill some guy to show a point. No, he just calmly says... You listen to me, and that's what's going to happen. And the thing is, though, the fact that he didn't do anything is actually scarier than had he, like, broke some guy's hand or shot a guy to prove his point. Because you just, like, it's like, this guy's got some stuff. He's going to... I kind of wish those two would have had more of a epic kapow.
I guess. I mean, they had some moments over the phone, too, which was nice.
Oh, so. Yes, the phone.
So, we've said a lot about this movie. It's about time we give it a score.
The Soap score is... 3 stars.
So 3 stars. Not bad. That's a solid B on the scope scale.
And it gave me what I needed.
Did you?
Yes.
You needed some menacing Denzel in your life?
I didn't know. I didn't know I needed Denzel menacing. But he brought a whole new type of character to this type of, you know.
Right.
It's your basic get even film.
But. And the best thing is, if you're playing first base and you're calling the ball, he's going to rush in from right field and catch it in front of you. Yeah. Sorry, dude. Yeah, and, That's what Denzel does. He's the star.
Denzel will tell you, if the odds are stacked against you and you need help, he can.
The Equalizer from Paramount Pictures. No. from Sony Columbia Pictures. In theaters this Friday... September 26th, go see it at probably rated R, I'm guessing, given the violence.
You think?
I'm thinking it's probably rated R.
the hanging with the razor blade.
Whoa! Spoilers! Hey, if you like what we do here, you can always like, comment, and subscribe. I'm Jared, that's Earl. This has been Under the Scope. We will see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.